We are very privileged today to have Pastor Jim Clements from Port Perry Baptist Church with us as Pastor Jacques is away up there preaching at Port Perry. So could we maybe turn the air conditioner off? It's quite loud. So at this time we'd ask you to come forward, brother, and preach the word.
I have that thing on, right? All right?
All right, good.
Thank you, Noel. Thank you. The privilege is mine to be with you this morning, to be with you in worship. Thank you to Paul and your worship team and for preparing our hearts and minds for our study in the Word this morning. And the seriousness of that last song we sang, the commitment that we're expressing from our heart to God, that we are giving our heart, our soul, our lives to Him, is a very fitting way to come to a study of God's Word. So I'd ask you to take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the passage that Noel read earlier for us. I am grateful not only to be here, I'm grateful Jacques is ministering in Port Perry. I'm always grateful when my brother is there to teach and preach and open the Scriptures to our folks, and they are always blessed. And grateful in this small way to hopefully continue and to strengthen our relationship with you. That is, as congregations, as God's people, we know each other and we can pray for one another. I know many of you have been praying for us over the past year, and we've gone through some of the struggles that churches go through this side of heaven, and we have known God's grace and faithfulness in remarkable ways, and your prayers for us, your concern for us, have been part of His working and ministering to us. And so we're very grateful for the relationship we have with you as members of one body, right, joined together by the Spirit in the body of Christ. Well, I'm grateful to have the air conditioners off for noise sake, but if it gets hot, feel free to turn them back on. I suspect that'll be more refreshing than maybe what I've got to say in the end. I want to share with you about renewal this morning, or being renewed. And the text I want to look at is verses 16 to 18 of the chapter that we read earlier. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. When we think about the need for renewal or being renewed, our minds might go to some cultural thing like a driver's license or a passport. We have to renew those things from time to time. The passport end of things can be quite a headache depending on where you have to go and how much information you need to present in order just to renew a passport that is evidence of your citizenship of this country that you need to travel in other countries. We might think of renewing a gym membership or something like that. Well, I hope and pray God will help us drive some of those or those images out of our minds, because we want to think about renewal, spiritual renewal, as Paul describes it for us in this passage of Scripture. A simple dictionary definition is, in terms of renew, is to give fresh life or fresh strength. To give fresh life and fresh strength. I know many of you a little bit, some of you a little better than others, and most of you I don't know at all. So I'm not sure where you are at, spiritually, physically, emotionally, in your relationships today, how strong you feel or how weak you feel. Maybe for many of us, and maybe for most of us, there are those things again in life that just make us feel our weakness and our lack of strength. Well, then this passage is for you. Maybe you are enjoying blessings from God. You're enjoying spiritual strength and comfort and help and joy in a remarkable way in these days. Praise God for that. Not every day is that way in this journey towards glory. But we thank God for that. But still, I would suggest pay close attention to this passage of Scripture, because there will be days that you need renewal. Today you feel you have more than enough. Tomorrow you may wake up and things could be radically different for many different reasons. One thing we must all acknowledge and confront is the reality that in this life we get tired. We get worn out. We become weary. We might ask ourselves, is this normal? Is this typical? Is something unusual or strange happening to me in my spiritual life that I feel this weariness, this wasting away that Paul describes in this passage? Is there something defective in me causing this? Well, no doubt there are many things that are defective in you. We'll just take that for granted. There are many things defective in me. But I want to encourage you that weariness, tiredness, that feeling of wasting away is not a sin in and of itself. We know this to be a fact because Jesus grew tired, didn't he? And he was without sin. He was so tired at one point he fell asleep in a boat, on a river, on a lake, in a storm. He was sleeping. Why? Because he was tired. And I think, while we want to be very careful with this, the Lord Jesus did not just become weary physically. We can well imagine that for the King of Glory to take on human flesh, to be fully God and fully man, and then to walk amongst sinners in a spiritually deprived world, even under attack from Satan, that it wasn't just physical weariness that this Savior experienced, it was the spiritual weariness that comes living faithfully for his Father in this sinful world. That was not an easy thing. So weariness, being tired, feeling worn out, is not in and of itself a sin. Now you will sin in your weariness, and so will I. That's what this message in part is about. That is, how do we equip ourselves? How do we become renewed? How do we make sure, how do we guard against sin in our weariness? But being tired in and of itself is not a sin. In fact, quite simply, as we'll stress in a moment, it's just the nature of living faithfully for Christ this side of heaven. It will wear us out. In fact, Jesus promised us that very thing, that this world and the devil himself will do all he can to wear us out in our desire to be faithful to the King of Glory. So what do we do? How do we address this? Well, let me suggest, first of all, from our passage that we find ourselves in good company, and we have a very able instructor in the Apostle Paul. In this passage of Scripture, we're picking up his example to learn from. It's not so much directly instructive that he's telling us as God's people, think this, do this, you know, believe this, but he's describing his own experience. In fact, there's an extended section in this letter, as in 1 Corinthians, where he must defend himself and explain himself and describe his responses to the weariness that he feels in his faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is an important teaching tool for us to learn from his experience. That Paul here indicates that he was outwardly wasting away, but that Paul experienced, by the grace of God, daily inward renewal. And in this sense, what was true of Paul in his faithfulness to Christ, though he served in a way that was unique as an apostle, as a frontline missionary, in his evangelistic endeavors, so many things were unique. We're not going to be Paul in our activities, in our service, in our faithfulness to Christ. He did some very unique things. But we identify him with him in this way, as we seek to be faithful where we are with what God has given to us and his calling on our lives, we will experience the same weariness, and we must find renewal in the same place and in the same way. In this sense, then, I want you to look with me at Paul's example and learn, and I trust be encouraged and comforted in our pursuit of genuine, inward, spiritual renewal. There are three things I want you to keep in mind before we get into the text directly as you think about spiritual renewal. One is, we're talking about something that takes place in the soul inwardly. I think that's pretty clear, and we'll explain more of that in a moment. In the text, it's an inward spiritual thing. But I don't want to drive too large a wedge between our physical and emotional state of being and our spiritual state of being. Sometimes we do that, right? That we think that, well, I'll be spiritually renewed, but outwardly miserable. And we may still suffer and struggle outwardly, but I want you to understand that spiritually, as we're renewed, that will affect the whole man, the whole person. It'll affect us emotionally. It'll affect us in our relationships. It'll affect us even physically as we pursue spiritual renewal. So it's more comprehensive than just, well, we're just dealing with the inside and nothing else. No, we're dealing with the whole person. Secondly, I want to encourage you that as you think about where you're at and your need for spiritual renewal in your life, I want to encourage you not to be selfish in this study or this pursuit. We can be selfish because I want to feel better. I want to feel stronger. I want to feel more comfort. I want to feel in myself, for my own sake, better about my life and service for the Lord Jesus Christ. But what Paul is describing for us here, and what I want to share with you this morning, is not just for your personal enjoyment or your personal blessing and benefit. Though, rightly understood, it will be for your enjoyment and benefit and blessing. There's no doubt. But I want to encourage you that the pursuit of personal spiritual renewal day by day, as it's described here, is for the benefit of the congregation. You realize that when you come together as the people of God, whatever it is you bring with you in your heart, you bring into the body. People, some of it's very difficult to discern and it's very intangible, but if you're struggling with sin and you're failing in that struggle with sin and you bring that with you into the corporate life of the church, it has an effect. People around you may not have no idea why there seems to be this spiritual malaise that has infected a portion of the body, but they will feel it nonetheless. If you're bitter and angry and frustrated in a relationship towards someone else sitting in this room today, you may think, I'm the only one who knows. Well, me and God. But I tell you right now, you bring that heart with you, you bring that reality with you into the life of the church, and the church will feel it. There's no doubt that it is not just a private thing, this need for spiritual renewal. It's, as every part is renewed, the body is renewed. And we must keep the body in view in these things. More than this, and this is the third thing to bear in mind. So it's spiritual renewal that impacts the whole life. It's spiritual renewal individually, but is meant for the life of the church. And thirdly, don't be selfish as a congregation with spiritual renewal. You are not. What I know of you, you are not this way. But it is a danger that congregationally, we just want to feel better about ourselves. We just want to feel like we're going to be okay. We just want to feel like if we want, you know, enough people and enough financial resources and enough emotional stability and enough relational peace, we want enough for us so that I can show up at things, we can get together and it's good. And we can become selfish as a congregation. And I want to encourage you that the spiritual renewal that begins with each of you individually is meant to spread throughout the congregation. And as that takes place, we are equipped and fitted for the mission that God has given us to take this gospel out to the world. Be careful. Don't just look for spiritual renewal to be cherished within. If God is genuinely doing something in you and in your church, it's meant to explode outward into the community. And again, to encourage you, from what I hear and observe, I believe God is doing that in this place. My prayer is that He will do it more and more. So spiritual renewal then. Having kind of laid those parameters for thinking this through, let me first think about the need for spiritual renewal. We touched on it. Let me just explore that a little bit more, and then we'll talk about the nature of spiritual renewal. For some reason, my mouth is not working properly this morning. So if it doesn't come out right, I will repeat myself. Hopefully, I don't have to do that too much because a half-hour message turns into an hour if you got to say everything twice. All right, the need for spiritual renewal. In the passage, Paul says in verse 16, jumping into the middle of his discourse on his ministry of reconciliation through the proclamation of the gospel, he says, "Therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away." The very least what we are to understand at this point is that Paul has already given evidence that there are good reasons why he might lose heart, that what he has referred to beforehand would suggest, and people might think, man, Paul, you might want to give up this thing called gospel ministry. You might want to not be so faithful to Jesus. You might lose heart. I won't take you to all of the passage. I do want to direct you to one. Just earlier on in our text, we read it earlier. If you jump back into verse 7 of chapter 4, just listen to how Paul describes his life and ministry in general terms. He gives more specifics later on in chapter 11. You can look to those on your own. But look, notice verse 7. "But we have this treasure," that's the gospel treasure, right? The treasure of reconciliation with God through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. "We have this treasure in jars of clay," that is, fragile, weak, and almost disposable jars, so to speak. "We have the treasure of the gospel in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us." Now listen to verse 8. "We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus." I believe what Paul's saying in that last statement is, understand the sufferings and the persecutions I endure. I am enduring the persecutions, the sufferings that Jesus promised to those who will be faithful to Him. If the world hated me, Jesus says, they're going to hate you too, and you're going to take it in the neck. And that's what Paul is experiencing. And so when he comes to verse 16 and says, we do not lose heart, something significant is happening, isn't it? There's something massively huge going on in Paul's life and ministry that is horribly painful at many points, and yet he can say he does not lose heart. Well, before we get to the reality of why it is he does not lose heart, why he is renewed, think about your own circumstances for a moment. And the reality that as you seek to be faithful to Christ in your marriage, in your parenting, in your schoolwork, in your place of employment, in your fellowship and ministries in this place, as you seek to honor Him and be faithful to Him in all things, how is it that you are feeling outwardly like you are wasting away? Because gospel ministry, and that's what we're all engaged in as Christians, is filled with these life-draining realities. Sheer weariness. We simply get tired. Physically, emotionally, and spiritually, precisely because to serve Christ means I take what I have and I give it out to others. That we're to pour our lives into the people around us. And some of those people don't respond well. Sometimes they don't even recognize that we're saying, doing, living in a way that is hopefully for their blessing and good, and they respond with unkindness. And just the pouring out of one's life for Christ, faithfully, wherever we are, can be tiring. There is the woundedness that comes as we seek to be faithful to Christ in gospel ministry wherever we are. The wounding can come through words. In fact, it is remarkable, isn't it, how just as the smallest sentence said to cut, to hurt, to wound, how penetrating that can be, how hard that can be to heal from. There are some wounds that come in relationships, and not just the relationships with unbelievers out there, but within the church. There are wounds that come from words, from actions, from disappointments. We pour ourselves into a ministry. We make plans. We pray. We plead with God's people to participate. We engage in that ministry, and then it doesn't go the way we'd hoped. The response is not what we had prayed for. Or the responses are the exact opposite of what we prayed for, and people complain about what it is we tried to do. Disappointments come, don't they, as we seek to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. I was visiting with a husband this week who was, again, as all of us do, we struggle in our relationships with our spouse from time to time, and one of the complaints was, I've done this and this and this and this, and she doesn't seem to even care or notice. He was wounded. He had hoped for a better response. Of course, with weariness and woundedness, you have to think about waywardness as well. When we think about the need for spiritual renewal, that it comes as a part of our living for Christ, this side of heaven, we must remember that we are not in heaven yet, and that all of us are wayward in so many different places of our lives, in so many different relationships. Today, have you thought for a moment today, even as you were bowed together preparing for worship, that you had things that needed to be forgiven through faith in Christ and because of His shed blood, that there are things today in my life, there are thoughts I've had, there are ways that I'm not even able to tangibly understand, but there are things that are deficient in me that dishonor Christ and are in need of the application of His shed blood. Waywardness. The self-inflicted wounds that come with sin and with failures. That will wear you out, won't it? You get to the end of a day and you know you've had a bad day. You know it's been you, that you're the problem. It hasn't been other people. And you get to the end of that day and you feel like maybe I'll just go to bed and I don't know whether I'll get out of bed tomorrow morning, because you're just so discouraged at your own lack of faithfulness. We grow tired. We become discouraged. And worse than this, we can become cold, hard, and cynical in our weariness if we are not careful. Much like driving a car, we are most likely to cause damage when we are tired. That's why this is so very serious. Pastors feel it. I know Noah will say amen to this. I know Jock will, because I've had conversations with him about it. I feel it in my own heart. I know that when I am weary, physically, emotionally, and most fundamentally in my spiritual walk, when I'm just tired and worn out, that's when I'm most likely to do damage to the people in my life. And I must be renewed, not just so I feel better about myself, but to guard against the dangers, the collateral damage that comes with my weariness. Who is it that is most deeply injured in when I've had a hard day? And maybe the attacks have come from outside and I've been just trying to be patient and kind with people who haven't been patient and kind. I've held up under all the stress. I haven't failed. And then I walk through the front door and all of the frustration and the weariness come out on my family. And they feel the effects of my spiritual weariness. And it should not be. And so I am driven to passages like this to find the source of Paul's renewing strength day by day. Because it's more than just my personal well-being that's at stake. It's the glory of Christ and the benefit and blessing of the people in my life. Do you understand the seriousness of being spiritually renewed, inwardly renewed, day by day? Oftentimes my mind, my heart, I go back and I pray the words of this old song by Keith Green. He used to be considered a contemporary Christian songwriter. He's gone on to glory many years ago, but I don't know what category. He's old now. I don't know what category we put him in. But this is one prayer that I've prayed many times myself. And maybe you can identify with it. My eyes are dry. My faith is old. My heart is hard, and my prayers are cold. And I know how I ought to be, alive to you and dead to me. But what can be done with an old heart like mine? Soften it up, Lord, with oil and wine. The oil is you, your spirit of love. Now wash me anew in the wine of your blood. And that prayer leads us into the substance of these verses, the nature of spiritual renewal that Paul describes here. I want to give you four things. Spiritual renewal, inward renewal, is only possible because of the gospel. There is no spiritual renewal in anyone's life apart from the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in verse 16 again, therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Where does that come from? Now, the strength or the power, the substance of what he is saying is drawn from the gospel stream of his thought that has already gone beforehand. Paul has in view already the gospel. I want to show this to you. It is vitally important that we pick up this gospel current in his message. Because underneath his words of almost a boast that he is finding renewed strength day by day is the truth of the gospel itself. And if that truth is not there, if the reality of the gospel is not there, there is no spiritual renewal for any one of us. Back in chapter 4 again, in verse 3, he says this, and if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. You see, he has the gospel in view. And when he says gospel, that's shorthand for Christ, Son of God, life, perfect life, death, resurrection, ascension. That gospel message which provides for us forgiveness of sins and reconciliation with God. Pick up verse 4. The God of this age, the enemy, the devil himself, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. You see, the gospel is still pulsing through his instruction, who is the image of God. Then he says in verse 5, we do not preach ourselves, our message is not us, but Jesus Christ is Lord. Again, that's a summary in one sense of the gospel itself. That he is Lord precisely because he descended, lived a perfect life, died in my place, was raised by the power of God, and ascended back to glory. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The gospel is behind that phrase itself. We preach Christ as Lord and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. Now notice verse 6. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, that's Genesis 1, creation, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. He's describing the gospel. And he says, the God who said at the very beginning when there was nothing, when he said, let there be light, light came into existence. There was no debate, there was no argument, there was no study to see if it was possible. God said, I want light, and there was light. He says, that God, now he's picking up that thought and he's coming into the gospel and he's saying, that God has said into the souls of sinners like you and like me, who are blinded by our own sin and by the enemy himself. He has come to us through Christ and his life, death, and resurrection, and in the power of his Spirit, he has said, "Let there be light." He's talking about conversion. What it means to be taken out of the kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of light. You see how the gospel is flowing through his instructions about his ministry and his spiritual renewal. Closer to our text in verse 13, notice this. It is written, "I believe, therefore I have spoken. And with that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. For all this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people," again, that's shorthand for gospel message, the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, "as this saving grace reaches more and more people, may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God." That's what the gospel does. It saves us from darkness, and it makes us worshipers of God. We bring him glory, honor, and praise. What's my point? Well, simply put, there is no spiritual renewal for you or for me unless Jesus truly lived, died, and rose again. But the gospel is true. Amen? So there is spiritual renewal for us. And let me just pause for a moment and talk to you if you're not a Christian. And this talk about renewal and strength, that sounds good, but you're not sure how to get it, or how to get into it, or how to find it, or you think that maybe if there's a pill at the end of the service you can take. No, I want you to stop at this moment and think about your own heart and soul and mind and relationship and thoughts. And I want you to think about what the Bible says about you and God's view of you because of your sinful heart condition. And I want you to consider what you need from God to be made right with him. And what you need is the Savior described in this passage. That Jesus died in the place of sinners like you and like me, so that through his death, I would be forgiven. He took the punishment for my sin upon himself so that I could go to him and say, "Jesus, forgive me for the sin in me." And he says, "I will forgive you because I paid the price for that sin on Calvary's cross. And I give to you my righteousness. My life of perfect obedience now is accredited to you, and my Father sees you as perfect as I am." Do you know that gospel in your heart this morning? Do you know that restored relationship with God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Is that true of you this morning? If it's not, I encourage you, I would urge you to stop now and pray. Seek him. Call out to him. Confess your sin, even now. That you would cry out for God's mercy and grace through the ministry of Christ and this gospel truth. Because that's where spiritual renewal must begin. There is no other place to go. There's no retreat center. There's no magic pill. There's nothing in a bottle. If we want spiritual renewal for our weary souls in this life, we must come to Jesus. Is that true? And you and I must remember as believers now that we need the gospel daily in our minds and in our hearts if we are to be spiritually renewed. One of the reasons why we linger in weariness, in wasting away, is because we neglect the gospel. I don't mean completely. I just mean it doesn't take the central place, the front place that it should. Every day we should get up with thoughts of Christ crucified and risen again. We dare not step out into this sinful world and engage in spiritual warfare without recognizing, "Jesus, you died and rose again. I have life today because I have life in you today, and I'm going to live this life for you." And we put it into his hands, and then we live that day in light of the gospel truth. As Jerry Bridges says in several places in his books, we must preach the gospel to ourselves every day. Know it, believe it, and soak in it, or our souls will not be renewed. This is why, one of the reasons I'm convinced, the Lord Jesus has given us the elements in the table of communion, or the table of remembrance, the Lord's Supper. So that regularly, however regularly we do that, I think the more often the better myself, but regularly, God's people come together and we come back to the central thing. Where do we find our life? We eat, ingest the bread. We ingest the cup, the juice, or the wine, whatever it is you use. We ingest those things, symbolically representing that my life is found and drawn from Christ himself. That I must, by faith, eat of his flesh, his dying body, and drink of his shed blood if I'm to have life in my soul. You see, the gospel is the source of spiritual renewal for God's people. And that's why we must always major in the gospel. But secondly, and we must put these things together, if the spiritual renewal is made possible by the gospel, and only possible in the gospel, then spiritual renewal is a reality because of the work of the Spirit. What do I mean? Well, notice in the text it says, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. So clearly Paul has in view something taking place in the spiritual realm, something that is taking place inwardly. And again, I don't want to go all to all of the text. If you have a concordance or a little gadget in your iPad or iPhone or something like that that can work as a concordance, if you look up references to the Spirit in 1st and 2nd Corinthians, what you discover is that Paul understands that the life we have and the life we live is only lived by the power and the presence of the Spirit of God. That we don't receive the gospel, oh, I'm forgiven, and then we live this life in our own strength, but it is an activity of the Spirit of God in our lives. Again, I could refer you back to those verses I read earlier where a world is blinded both internally and externally by Satan himself, and yet God speaks life and light, and there is life and there is light. That speaking into the lives of lost sinners is done by the power of His Spirit. The working is inward and spiritual, deeply impacting the soul of the individual who seeks God for this spiritual renewal, and that spiritual renewal comes by the power of God's Holy Spirit. That's my point. Well, what do we do with that? What I want to encourage you is to not be afraid to pray for and pursue the tangible evidence of the Spirit of God actively working in your mind, heart, and relationships. That we should be seeking that. Now I say that, don't be afraid of that, because we see people who get off the rails in spiritual, in terms of the work of the Spirit, right? And they do some wacky things. And we look at it and we go, really? Barking like a dog is spiritually beneficial, right? To just identify one of those wacky things. And we go, I'm not into that because I don't find it in Scripture, and rightly so. You should say, well, no, I think that's outside of the bounds of Scripture. We have to make those discerning judgments. But the danger is that we basically throw out the Spirit with the misuses of the Spirit, if I can put it that way. That we forget that, wait a minute, it's an inward spiritual renewal that I need day by day. That means, God, you've got to do something in me. And that means daily I want to pray, Lord, penetrate my mind, my heart, my soul. Be at work within me. Convict me of sin. Show me where my weariness is because of my waywardness. Father, show me again by the power of your Spirit. Bring the light of the gospel to me through the pages of Scripture. The pages are dry. The words are lifeless, Father. Bring life to your word by the power of your Spirit. I need your Spirit to give me understanding and bring life to me through the gospel, through the word that I read. Do you pray that way? We should. We must. Because in one sense, it is in praying for God's work in us by His Spirit that we most clearly express our absolute dependency on Him. That we can't be who He wants us to be. We can't accomplish what He has called us to accomplish. We can't pursue gospel faithfulness in life and in ministry and in the church. We can't do any of those things unless He shows up by His Spirit. And when He does, things get done. Isn't that true? Both internally, individually, and also in the life of the church. We desperately need a work of the Spirit of God. Thirdly, so it's the gospel. Renewal comes by the gospel. It comes by the power of the Spirit. And it must come daily. Notice how it's in the text here. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we are renewed day by day. Interesting. We might pass by that quickly. I don't think I'm making too much of this statement by Paul. We might think, wouldn't it be great if we just got a great big zap of spiritual strength and spiritual life right when we're converted? Big resource of this, and now we're good to go. That's not what is described in Scripture, is it? In fact, Paul indicates here, and again, I don't want to make too much of it, but I don't want to miss it. He's saying, daily, I must go to Him in the gospel and by the power of His Spirit so that I'll find the strength, the renewal, all of the things that I am lacking, I'm pouring out or being taken from me day by day. I've got to go daily for those things to the Lord. Daily. When we think, I don't want to linger here too very long, but when you think about your daily devotions, what comes to your mind when I say daily devotions? for many, what comes to mind is, those daily devotions. I've been very faithful lately, and I know I need to read something every day. And, you know, I'm going to read something every day whether I like it or not, because I know that's what I need to do. Pastor Jacques says so every Sunday. That's what I'm going to do. And I know I need to pray, so I'm going to pray every day whether I feel like it or not. Now, in one sense, by all means, don't wait till you have some feeling in your stomach that moves you to read and pray. Read and pray because God will use His Word and He will answer prayer. Absolutely. But what I want to encourage you with this morning from Paul's perspective here is this. When we're really weary and tired and worn out, we do want something. We recognize our need for something. The problem is we go to the wrong places, right? We go to human relationships. Not that that's all bad, but that can't be primary. Or we go to the movies. Or some people, Christian people, buy a beer, right? Because I'm tired and I'm weary and I'm worn out. And I just want something to do something. And what we should long for, if we understand this passage of Scripture and its effects on our lives, is for more of God through His Word by His Spirit. And we should hunger for it. So that daily devotion shouldn't be something that I have to do. It's something I can't wait to do. Much the same way that my sons, who are now getting older, that is, they're all young men now, and can eat like horses, when they're hungry, it is no trouble getting them to the table to eat. Anybody with, kids, men who are 19, 20, 21 in the room, you know what I say is true. They can eat. And why do they eat? Because they're hungry. And so should we. When spiritually we are hungry, when spiritually we feel our weariness and we identify it correctly, we should long for the Word of God. It shouldn't be something that, Pastor Jacques has to convince us to do. We're already there. We should be. Because we recognize that every day, even on those days when I do already feel spiritually renewed, Lord, I'm coming again because I know I need more. Day by day, we need this spiritual renewal. And we will until we get to glory. I don't know what heaven will be like. I have an idea of some of the things that heaven will be like. But I know this. When we get there, the resources we need will be there in abundance. This side of heaven, we draw on those resources as we give ourselves to God in devotion and in prayer. The resources that are ours in glory already are drawn into the life we live today. And so we must pursue these things with all of our heart. Well, so we've talked about the gospel. That's essential to spiritual renewal. The Spirit is essential to spiritual renewal. Recognizing that this is needed every day and pursuing it daily is essential to spiritual renewal. And one last very important thought in verses 17 and 18. That spiritual renewal today is fueled by eternal perspectives. Let me read verses 17 and 18. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Paul is clearly describing how it is he views his life and ministry today. It's interesting he can describe his troubles as light and momentary. They seem to me to be anything but light. If his are light, then mine are nothing. This guy suffered, they're light and momentary. How can you say that sincerely and genuinely, Paul? I'll tell you how he can. He sees them in the context of eternity, and so should you and I. In fact, he ties this perspective to the spiritual renewal he's experiencing day by day in verse 16. So that this great paradox is a reality for him, and it should be for us as well. What is the paradox? Verse 18, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Do you see the paradox? How do you fix your eyes on what it is you cannot see? But he does, and he calls us, and Jesus calls us to do the same, that we are to lift our eyes off of the material, the temporal, the tangible, the now, and we are to see God, see life by God's grace from His perspective. Inward renewal comes through seeing life from the perspective of the end. And it's His end. It's His victory. It's His life that we will enjoy. It's His presence. It is the final, the complete separation. The enemy will be put away from God's people forever when we get to glory. That's an eternal perspective. Today, the enemy has at us, doesn't he? Today, we feel his attacks. Today he has ways into the hearts and minds of people. Today he can disrupt the life of the church. Today he can undermine our witness and faithfulness for Christ. Today he has a presence in this world. On that day he will be gone. On that day he will be put away forever. And all who follow him will be put away, and they will have no access into our presence or the presence of God. We will be saved forever. How do we respond to the wounds that come as we seek to be faithful today? We remind ourselves that this is just a moment. We're living for eternity. That's what we have to do. That's what Paul is describing here. Inward renewal will be fueled today as we see what is still to come, where it is we're going, and who it is we're going to see. Several years ago, I had the privilege and the joy of traveling to Africa with my sons, my father, my brother, and a nephew. We had a great time. We were there for 3 weeks. My dad organized this mission trip for my brother and I to do some preaching and teaching there. And we were preaching and teaching every day, most days, multiple times a day. It was brilliant. I mean, it was just spectacular. And it was exhausting. By the end of that 3 weeks, we were done. And not just the normal weariness, but 2 days before we were to come back, I started getting sick. And I mean, I knew I was getting really sick. I'm a guy who doesn't get sick very often, and when I do get sick, I just deny it. I'm one of those denial type of individuals. And I can feel myself getting sick. And what I have before me, the prospect is, in a couple of days, we're going to get on a plane in Malawi, Central East Africa. We're going to fly for about 14 or 15 hours to Britain. So I got 14 or 15 hours on a plane. And in my mind, I'm going, I wonder how close I can get to the bathroom, you know, because I'm trying to calculate the length of that time. And then we had about a day layover in Britain, and then we had whatever it is, 6-7 hour flight back to Canada. And I'm looking at the prospect of that journey, and you know, at points you're going, maybe it would just be better if I were to die now. They just carry the body home, and it wouldn't bother me in the least. So we begin this journey, and I was praying, Lord, I just want some strength for this journey home. And I seem to daily, moment by moment, get worse and feeling worse. Putting on a strong face for my children and my parents. I don't want anybody to know that I'm sick. I'm just inwardly, outwardly, in every way, I'm just wasting away. But one of the things, and I would say the main thing in that journey that encouraged me and sustained me, was the reality of where I was going and who I was going to see. My wife hadn't traveled with me. And I don't travel well without my wife. And it had been 3 weeks. And I missed her desperately. And now I was sick. And she was going to have to do a lot of caretaking when I got home, and she did. And one of the thoughts, and it was a deliberate thought on my part as I felt sicker and sicker, was, no, this plane is taking me home, and I'm going to see my wife. I'm going to see my bride. And that thought just kind of encouraged me to keep going. You keep going. Paul is telling us in this last point about spiritual renewal. You want spiritual renewal? You want to be revived, encouraged? You want to persevere? You want to keep going to the very end? Remind yourself daily of where it is you're going and who it is you will see. I'm not talking about family members now, although there'll be a glorious reunion. I don't know what that will look like, but it'll be glorious. But the most glorious thing of all, well, you will be home and you will see the Savior. There are days for us, this side of heaven, when that's all that will keep us going. That's all that will keep us faithful, is the thought that this is not the end of the story. The end of the story is in glory, and I'm going to be there. You see, the effects, one of the profound and transformative effects of spiritual renewal that become tangible in our lives is this. It's perseverance. When God is at work, reviving our souls with the gospel, by the Spirit, day by day, increasing the clarity of our view of eternity, when He's doing that, we will never give up. We will persevere to the end. And all of that by His grace and for His glory. Let's pray. Father, I feel in my own heart and life today, and Father, you know these people and their needs. I just feel a great need of this passage and these truths. Because we're afraid, Father. We're afraid of our culture. We're afraid of our political leaders. We're afraid of the changing laws. We get weary for worry for our families and for our witness and for our lives. We grow weary as we fight against the darkness that seems to be deepening. We grow weary with physical illness. We grow weary in broken relationships. We grow weary with our own waywardness. Father, outwardly we are wasting away. desperate, in desperation, Father, I pray today for my soul and for your people in this place. I pray that you will renew us in the truth of the gospel by the power of your Spirit, day by day. Give us a vision of glory that we will be faithful to the end. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.